Colossians chapter 2. I trust that you've brought your Bible today. Maybe you've got a Bible app. Anybody that's got a phone needs to have a Bible app. So I'm going to be reading in the ESV. Let's stand together to read Colossians 2, beginning at verse 6 through verse 15. And I've entitled this sermon, A Conversation with a New Believer. So as you're hearing this text, think a minute. What would you say to someone who just becomes a Christian? What conversation would you have with them? What is it that you would think, oh, I gotta tell them this, okay? So here we go. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted, there it is, boys and girls, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him. Your text might say, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in what? Baptism. In which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us of all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside. How do you do that? Nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. The word of the Lord to us. Please be seated. Thank you. I'd like us to focus predominantly on verse 6. So if you have that before you, you might want to just keep that phone on, keep this Bible open to that text. We'll try to walk through it. Can I just say, first of all, that there is a very sweet phrase here for parents. So, Sub, Rachel, just take note of this sweet phrase where it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, the day that you'll be able to sit with Ella and say, you remember that time? Do you remember that moment? No, maybe she won't. Because some of us can't. Some of us can remember a significant time, a significant moment when God came to us and saved us. Amen. Some of you know that. And some of you, praise God, can't really say when. Because as your memory just unfolds, you've walked with Christ for so long. Never was there a time when you would say that was it. But here Paul is talking now to the Colossians and saying, just as you received. Let's go back in time a minute. Do you remember when you believed? The light bulbs came on. You saw the glory of Christ. That's what Paul's talking about here. What a sweet phrase that you'll be able to say this, because it's in the past tense. It's just as you received. Remember this? I was just thinking the other day about our son. And maybe I've said this story to you before. Forgive me. I'm getting old. I don't have the memory anymore. But I remember one night, it was a Wednesday night, came downstairs to where his bedroom was, and I heard him crying. He was about, I don't know, about 15. I mean, he was a big scrapping boy at this time. He could throw a bale of hay further than I could. But there he was crying. And I stopped at the door before I even went in. I thought to myself, what's the matter? So then I went into the room. I said, what's the matter, son? And he looked up at me, and tears were in his eyes. And he said, Dad, I don't want to go to hell. I said, well, son, I'm glad you don't want to go to hell. So, what's up? He said, oh, Dad, tonight when we were at Wednesday night, you know, family night at church, the teacher was talking about hell. And I guess for the first time it just dawned on me. If I'm not right with Christ, I'm going to go to hell, Dad. I said, yeah, you would. So what are you going to do? Well, I think I should pray and ask God to forgive me. Amen. And you know, he did that night. That moment in time. And so now I can say to our son, just as you received, E-D, on the end, received. I'm no longer talking to him saying, oh, I hope someday you'll receive Christ. No, it's in the past tense. Isn't that a glorious, sweet little phrase right there? Oh, don't you just long for that day to be able to say that stuff to your daughter? Oh, Ella, remember? Just as you received. Oh, a week and a half ago, my wife and I were talking to this guy. A 63-year-old dairy farmer. I'm not going to speak too broad of a paintbrush here statement, but you know how it is with these dairy farmers. They can be a little rough. Amen? This guy was a little rough. Some of you are smiling, going, I know what you mean. You're talking about me. This guy was a little rough, but he asked me, can you help me? I don't quite understand Jesus. I just don't get it. So we sat down for an hour and we just talked about Christ and the gospel. And the grace. And I said, so what do you want to do? Well, I want to pray. I need to pray. Said, yeah. He says, but could we wait for my wife? Because I want to do this with her. Said, yeah, buddy. Let's meet tonight. Yeah. So at night we got together again. Another hour, hour and a half. Carol and I meeting with the wife and him. And finally he prayed. This little simple prayer. You know, right? What do you think we got to say? Exact certain words? No! But he just said, I'm sorry. I've done so much wrong. Would you forgive me? What do you think God said? No, I'm not going to. God doesn't say that. When you come with a humble, true heart to the Lord and say, Lord, would you forgive me? The Lord says, yes. 1,000 times, yes. I will cover you with the precious blood of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we can say, just as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now hold on there a minute. How did you receive it? Now that's point one if you're following on the notes here. You write this word in that little space. Would you write this word? How did you receive him? Grace. Walking in this morning, I met someone here. She introduced herself. Her name is Grace. I was like, yes, great name. Grace. How did you receive Christ? Can you pat yourself on the back and say, that a boy. I was a smart guy believing in Jesus. That's how I believed. I was really smart. No, there ain't anybody going to write that down in here, is there? You better not. That'd be false. But how did you? God came to you in the miracle of the new birth and caused you to be born again. By grace have you been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. Because what would we do if it was of ourselves? Ephesians says we'd be running around bragging about it. We've got nothing to brag about except the glory of Christ and the power and the all-sufficiency of His salvation. How did you receive Jesus Christ? Put down the word grace. You know what? I don't know. I don't think that's the only word you put down in a minute. You could put down the word faith. Faith. You trusted in Him. You believed in Him. You gave your life to Him. And when I say Him, Paul makes it very clear who we're talking about here in this text. Do you see it? He didn't leave anything out. Look at it. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, Christ, the anointed Messiah, Jesus the Savior, the Lord, the boss, the one that I now give myself over to that I might be His slave. We trusted in Him, fully and only in Him. It can be no other way. Now perhaps you've got the word grace, and you've got the word faith now crammed in that little line. Maybe let me give you another one. How was it that you received Christ? By the preaching of the Word. If you're here today and you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, I pray that the preaching of this Word today will in fact bring you to salvation. Look what happened here. See, this is the book of Colossians. Paul has never been to the town of Colossae. He wasn't there. He didn't start this church. Did you know that? This isn't his church. Okay, you can talk about Ephesians. That was his church. Not Colossians. Not the Colossian people. Who did? Well, it's right here in chapter 1, verse 7. I think it's 7. Just as you learned what? The grace of God. You can see that in verse 6, right at the end. The grace of God and truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. How is it that we become a believer? By hearing the Word of God. And that's what happened. And that's why this is our job description here at Rockford Springs Community Church. To be the church where broken people can come into and join the rest of us broken people and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And find healing, find salvation, find hope, find a new life. Amen? That's who we are to be in this church. Worshippers of the Lord God Almighty in such a way that we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love others as ourselves. And the greatest love you can show to someone is Christ. And that's what Epaphras did. Now, maybe if you still got any room in that little line I gave you, here's another word. Surrender. Because that's what we do to receive Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, our Lord. He receives us when we surrender. Surrender fully to all He is and all He ever did. We don't pick and choose the theology that we like and discard the theology that we don't like. He is the Creator who created you in but 6 days. He is the Creator who has provided for you. He receives all honor and glory for the fact you're even breathing right now and your heart is pumping. That's all of God. That's all of God's, none of you. And we surrender to His Lordship. We surrender to His law. For it is good. It is what's best. Even when culturally, it is so unacceptable. You can't take our culture today to the Word of God and marry the two together. You can't do that. And so as Christians, when we've received Jesus Christ, we have left behind the world and gone forward with our Master. Amen? We have drawn the line and said, that's it. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I don't care if it's the philosophy of the day. See, that's exactly what's happening here and why Paul is picking up the pen to write to the Colossian church. Epaphras has traveled from Colossae all the way to Rome to see Paul, to say, Paul, I got trouble. I got trouble at this church. This church has started to buy into all this latest culture stuff. Well, what was happening in the town of Colossae was they were beginning to deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. They were beginning to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They were beginning to deny the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not so unusual. It's still happening around us today. So they said, well, it can't be that Jesus was human, because we don't agree that matter can be good. It has to be evil. And so Paul has to write in verse 21 of chapter 1, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh. Paul's not putting that in there for no reason at all. He's got a reason for that. He's making it very clear that we need the humanity of Jesus Christ to save us. For we needed a second Adam to obey the law. And that's how we're now reconciled in his body by flesh, by his death, in order to present us holy and blameless to the Lord. Now, they also denied the deity of Jesus Christ. See it to it. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 8, that no one takes you captive, I read it a minute ago, by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. I have in my Bible titled the book of Colossians, The Colosso Christ. You may want to jot that down. Because that's what Paul powerfully writes about in this book of Colossians. The wonder of the glory of Christ, who created all things for him and by him. Tremendous book. So therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, trusting in his sufficiency and in his sufficiency alone, you are complete in him. So, what's the command in the text? Well, if you're on point 2 in my outline, you can write this word down. So, walk in him. Did you write that down? Walk. So walk in him. I mean, that's the natural thing. He has saved you, not for you to go wandering off and doing your own thing. No. Walk with him. And you know, you hear that, and it just takes you right back to the garden, doesn't it? With Adam and Eve walking with the Lord in the cool of the morning. That's the picture. Walking with him. Walking with him. This is the main command of the text. This is a powerful command. I'm so thankful it doesn't say, so run with him. Now, Paul often talks about running with Christ, amen. But here, the concept is to dwell with him, live with him, walk with him, talk with him, be with him throughout your day, no matter what your day is, and no matter what you're doing throughout your day, that we're constantly praying and listening to the Spirit quote the Scriptures to us, and we're just dwelling with him. Walking with, aren't you glad it doesn't say running? I talked to you about my son a minute ago. Our son yesterday ran a 5K downtown Grand Rapids. He ran that 10K. He come across that finish line. I mean, he was done. He gave it his all. But that's really not the picture here. The picture is just this lifestyle of living with Christ, recognizing that you are in him and he is in you all the time. You're losing your temper, he's with you. You about had it with those kids and you're losing your patience, he's with you. You're in despair over maybe a job, he's with you. He's walking with you. Your marriage is struggling. He's with you. You're not alone. He's with you. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. You don't need to run and get wore out. But nor do we sit on the couch and get rusty. We walk with Jesus Christ. When someone is unable to walk, they are less free. They are less able to go forward. They're not right. Our heart goes out to people that can't walk. But in Christ, you can walk with Him. Now let's move to the third point. Well, how do we do this? How do we walk with Him? This is where Paul starts. He takes us to this. I don't know, maybe he had an ugly weed around that gave him itches, but he says, having been rooted in Him. So the word is rooted. This is a finished work with a lasting effect. Who rooted you? God did. Only God did. The other day I was out in the woods behind my house, way in the back, and I found this beautiful sedum plant. What's this sedum doing growing here? You crazy sedum, what are you doing here? So I got the shovel and dug this thing up, got it out of the woods, out of the back 40, get it out of there, bring it up front, display this thing. See, this is what He's done. He's gotten a shovel and He's dug you up and He's pulled you away from the world and planted you in Christ for the glory of Christ. He did that. He rooted you. So a good translation of this would be, instead of just the word rooted, it would be having been rooted. Want to jot that in your Bible, I don't know. Having been rooted. And having been built up in Him. See, this is the thing, right? The reason there's roots is so that the plant will grow. You know, I love it in the spring. Pulling up these acorns. I've got these red oak trees by me, and they keep dropping these acorns. And it's so fun to dig one of those up when it's just in its initial stage. Because it's got a shoot coming out of the acorn going up, and it's got another shoot going out, going down. And they need both. And so the root, of course, you know, gives the plant its life. But the plant gives the root life. And so it's just this beautiful thing. That not only have you been rooted in Him, but you've been built up in Him. Again, you've done nothing here. This is the ongoing work of God that's being done in you. You're passive in this. Fifth one. Not only am I built up, but I'm established. Again, think of a plant. It doesn't just shoot up, but it starts to put out branches. That's healthy. It starts to put out leaves. It starts to grow out. Having been well established. What's that little thing we say? The first year of perennial sleeps, then a perennial creeps, and then a perennial leaps. That's really this text. Abounding in thanksgiving. That's the leaping part, right? That's what happens when you put a perennial in. You don't put a perennial in for this year. You put a perennial in for 2 years later. Because now you're standing back going, wow, here we go. So we're being strengthened in our faith, established. This is the ongoing work of God who's working to not just root you and then see to your growth, but also to see you established. This is when we start pruning. This is when we start shaping a plant, right? This is when the Lord starts nipping this out of your life and nipping that out of your life so you even look better. Developing, shaping. Now, finally, on the sixth point, we have from the text, what are we to do? Abounding in thanksgiving. Well, finally, folks, there's something for us to do. Because so far, there hasn't been nothing for you to do. I've tried to hammer on the fact that God is at work in this text. What kind of conversation do I want to have with a new believer? I want to have a truthful conversation with them about the glorious work of God that not only saved them, but will continue to keep them saved. That is the work of God. And so it is God who roots, builds, and establishes us in our faith. Now, having said that, there's still plenty for us to do, right? There's still plenty for us to do. But one of the first things and most important things is that we're abounding in thanksgiving. We're enjoying our life in Christ. We're thriving. We're flourishing. We're prospering. We're blooming. We're blossoming. We're mushrooming. We're doing better today than we did yesterday. We're advancing. We're succeeding. Why? Because God has brought about such a work in our life that we're exploding with growth. Amen? Within our hearts, there's good change going on. What do I want to say to a new believer? What do I want to say to you today? What do I want to say to myself today? There's hope in the Christian life because God's going to help us. If you're going to take home anything today, take that home from this text. Look what God has done. He has saved you, rooted you, established you, built you up. Why? So that we'll abound in thanksgiving. And isn't that worship? Today, if we came and sat down in the chair here, then we just kind of mumbled our way through some songs. Listened a little bit to the prayer, but it wasn't long, and I don't even know what he was praying anymore because my mind was on something else. I mean, if that's the way you're functioning, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. What ought to be happening is we come in the door, and when someone says to us, "Hey, how you doing?" we don't say something dumb like, "Oh, not too bad." What does that mean? I'm doing bad, but not too bad. We ought to get that phrase out of our mouth. Is that a Thanksgiving statement? I don't think so. So if you're used to saying, "I'm not too bad," just get that thing out. Amen? Not too bad? What are you talking about? You've been born again by the Spirit of God, rooted into His garden. You're being built up in the faith and established by the almighty power of God, and you're just kind of not doing too bad? What is that? We ought to be saying, when someone asks us, "How are you doing?" I'm just so blessed, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm so thankful today. God is so good. We should be just flowing out our faith when someone says to us, "Hey Dave, how you doing?" "I'm doing great because of God has been so merciful to me." Now, there is application here in the text for us to position ourselves for sure. I mean, come on. You know what a plant needs? It needs a good fertilizer. Well, what do you get yourself positioned where you're growing in Christ? This is what will feed you. Stay in it, get in it. Hear it preached throughout the week. Study this thing. Memorize this thing. Read this thing. What's your Bible reading plan right now? You got a plan? You're reading your Bible? Should I embarrass us and have us all raise our hand for faithfully reading our Bibles right now? I won't do that to you. I'm frightened what the answer would be. So, listen. If you're not strong in your faith, it's because you're not feed. What did I just do Saturday? I went around and put fertilizer on my grass again. Got to grow grass. What am I doing? I'm trying to feed the grass. What do I need to be doing with my soul? Feeding my soul through the Word of God. Get into Bible study. You say, "Well, I don't know of one." Well, then start one. Just start one. Just call somebody up and say, hey, would you meet with me? Let's just read Ephesians 1. Let's read 1 Peter 1. Let's read Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Try to understand this thing. You know, just get together and pray with one another. Study. I can't say this enough, that there are weak Christians because we're not in the Word of God. And so we wonder why we're not abounding in thanksgiving. It's not God's fault. Can I put it that way? Come on. Let's grow. Amen? Would you rather be healthy than sick? Come on. Let's grow. Because God has saved us, rooted us, built us, and established us in our faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the work you're doing. Look, Father, we have so much to say thank you for. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for taking us out of the back 40 and planting us in Christ. Building us up with new strength and vigor in a new spiritual life that's eternal. Father in heaven, thank you for the scriptures that we have today in this day and age. Your people have never had the Word of God like we have today. We should know our Bibles inside and out. Too often we're found so weak. Help us. Help us, Lord, to discipline ourselves, to be in the Word of God, enjoying our walk with Jesus. We don't want to be like this Colossian church that was falling into all kinds of legalism and adding law and all this stuff. No, Lord, we want to know Christ and Him in all of His glory. We want to be a thankful people. Father in heaven, thank you for this precious text. We pray now for every kid in here that one day every mom and dad will be able to say, remember that time? Just as you received Christ Jesus, our Lord. So now, son, now daughter, go ahead. You go walk with Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.